Look through the window of the original Joe's on North Beach and you'll see two guys at the counter talking ball. Time for you to listen in to their conversation. Marty Lori and the SF Chronicles Bruce Jenkins are looking through the window of baseball. Sponsored by Original Joe's of North Beach and Westlake on KNBR 680, the sports leader.
Two guys talking ball. FP likes to turn the microphones off.
The window here at the public house is so clear, I almost can't see it.
I can see you. There. In fact, if I look behind you, I can see extra bags. I can see Andy Bergley behind you as well.
Yeah, he's bringing an extra window, hopefully, for me. There he is.
There he is. Boy, what a time of year. First of all, Carmen, you got the lineup for the Giants?
I do. You want the Giants, right?
I guess.
So leading off, you have Brandon Belt at first base. Left field is Yastrzemski, Buster Posey in the squat. Scooter Gennett at second base, Evan Longoria playing the corner, Crawford shortstop, Pilar in center. We got Austin Slater in right field, and then obviously Jeff Samardzija takes the bump.
All right. Bruce Jenkins with us. Andy Bagley has been nice enough to sit down as well. Grab your microphone if you want to chat a little bit with
both
of us. Oh, okay. We're fine.
Anyway.
Bruce can hand it to him if we have to do that. Andy's early. All right. Toronto Blue Jays.
Yes.
How about Bo Bichette and what this kid did? 9 games in hitting streak, stopped last night. 9 games in a row of hitting a double. And do you see the kid in the field?
Yeah, he made a great play last night. I mean, this kid is just slashing up there. And I just love the whole Biggio, Guerrero, Bichette thing they've got. I mean, 3 guys whose dads play, but they're all, I mean, these guys are serious hackers up there. These guys are going to be around.
Toronto can hit. Thank you.
Yeah.
Extra bag.
We've established that.
Yeah, I'm telling you, this is it. There's some, I don't know what it is, but maybe it's just the thing when we go, Andy and I talked about it last night, we go through this for so many months, and then you get to August, and all of a sudden the games become more meaningful, like they like to say, and players become more important on how they fit into the season. I love the way Toronto's playing right now. You play Toronto right now, you're going to have to score 10 runs to beat them.
Yeah, I mean, they're not probably going to make any noise this year, but the future's looking good. They did trade Stroman. That was a drag, but they do hit the ball like crazy, and it's just going to get better, so that's going to be a pretty good destination.
How do you like the Dodger dust-up last night with Arizona, Andy?
Yeah, it happened right at the end of the game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little tensions flared. Not uncommon to see that happen. Just getting back to Toronto, I think that it shows you how important pitching is, because no matter how much you hit, you're going to be sustainable winning day to day if you can pitch, and so I think that they need to find their next Dave Steep and Tom Henke Pat Henke,
Dwayne Ward,
Jimmy Key, we're looking at a recent Hall of Famer, Roy Halladay,
Jack Morris.
Catch the Mark Willard Show weeknight 6-10 on the Sports.
Remember how close he came to no hitters?
Yeah, every night I thought he was going to throw.
Right, and he was broken up in the Liriano,
Roberto Kelly.
Roberto Kelly. That's right.
Yeah, hey.
All right.
I was in Toronto for both of those World Series, and the town was happening, and it was great fun. I saw Joe Carter hit the home run, and that was fun.
Touch them all, Joe.
Yeah.
You'll never hit a bigger home run.
Great call.
Now, Giants fans might not know this, but Roberto Kelly is now the manager of the Sultanate de Monterrey.
Giants Philly tomorrow. First pitch 105 on KNBR 680.
Does he speak the language? He must a little bit.
He's from Panama. So I would
assume. Well, of course he does. What am I thinking?
He should speak Panamanian.
Does he speak English as well?
He could speak Panamanian.
Yeah, yeah. Dumb question of the night.
That's all right. You're live.
Well, the Blue Jays may have a starter on the way. The guy they got for Marcus Stroman was Anthony Kay, a former first-round pick of the Mets, coming out of UConn, left-hander with plus fastball. And so I think if they're able to get a few guys to major leagues in the next few seasons, but they've got to start looking at different ways they can upgrade this roster. They gave away Kevin Pillar and got nothing back for him from the Giants. They got Derek Law and Alan Hansen, Juan DePaula, who may not make the major leagues, was the prospect in that deal. And I think they need to start looking at that roster. Maybe they got something for Sogard and figure out ways they can enhance that core, which is something that every team is challenged with in the American League East when you're up against the Yankees and the Red Sox.
Yeah, and by the way, what a deal for the Giants. I mean, we're talking about what they've done with Yastrzemski and Dickerson, and, you know, they're finally hitting on some of these calls. But that was a wonderful trade. I mean, Pilar is hitting in the clutch a lot of the time. Of course, he's an incredible fielder. Seems like a great teammate. And what a score.
What do you think of Harper last night? And just the theater of Harper coming to San Francisco, the home runs, shushing the crowd. And talk to the Philly people. They love him. He fits in perfectly.
I mean, you wonder what his numbers would look like in San Francisco, because it's been a bit underwhelming in Philadelphia in a very good hitting environment. And there'd be the pressure of the contract and the pressure of the ballpark getting in his head. And no matter what he says, he didn't want to sign with the Giants because he didn't like the ballpark. Well, he makes it look small with the ball he hit in the Cove last night. But I think we've seen what Farhan Zaidi's done and how sort of opportunistic he can be and how he can add talent for very little. And you think, take that $300 million-plus they would have poured into Harper. You've got to think the Giants will be able to get more value with that future money with Farhan leading the way than just to pour that into one player. I still think the Giants dodged a bullet by not signing Bryce Harper.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I mean, part of me really wanted to see Harper here just for the fact that, you know, all these teams we're talking about, you know, with guys like Christian.
Hey, this is Jeff Samardzija sending you back to the booth on KNBR 680.
It's a bad thing to not have. It really is in today's game. But you're talking about 12 years and $800 billion or whatever it was. I mean,
he didn't want it.
You can do a lot of that. And you're right. I certainly don't think he comes out here and performs. He didn't even make the All-Star team in Philly. I mean, so yeah, I've definitely come around to your side of that.
All right, guys, stick around. Don't go anywhere. We're going to time now for today's Player Spotlight, sponsored by KIS and Barracuda. Your journey secured. I'll ask you guys, Player Spotlight today? Who's your Player Spotlight in this game today?
Player Spotlight.
Whatever that means.
I really like the Yastrzemski kid.
Okay.
I just like
Is
watching
he in the lineup,
play.
Carmen?
Well, I hope so. Does he speak English? Yeah, he does.
You're on a roll here.
I'll take Longoria. I think they need to get Evan Longoria back to the guy who was just finding his stroke before the All-Star break, and then he got hurt. And I think that him sort of finding his way again and being a middle-of-the-order presence and being a star again is going to be important for this offense.
I don't think we should forget Velasquez either. What an interesting guy. Great athlete, played quarterback, was a soccer midfielder. They say he could catch, he could play center field.
Can they send him to left field? With his
yeah, yeah. Please. He's on loan, and he's on weeknights 6 to 10.
I'll go with Scooter Jeanette. I think it's important for him to continue to try to have a good first impression.
Catch the Mark Willard Show after the game on
They acquired him to be an upgrade over Joe Panik at second base, but because these home games are the Giants' first taste of what life is like without Joe Panik, and I think a lot of fans have emotional ties to what Panik represented to that 2014 team and the jolt he provided when he came up. So I think that it's important that Jeanette has a really good first few games here with the Giants, because fans are watching his every move very closely.
All right. Yeah, I'll go to Samardzija. You know, it starts on the mound. And if he does his July stuff, or if he nibbles like he did against Washington, it'll be a quick night, quick afternoon for him. I'm looking at Samardzija. So we'll see. All right, we'll take a break. Back with Andy, Bruce, Carmen. Who else? Gary, FP, Izzy, Tom O'Dool. Everybody's on the show today. All right, more coming up right after this. All right, very good. No, it's fun out here. We're having a good time. I'm glad that everyone could be here today. Bruce Jenkins joins us. Of course, Josh back in the studio. You have to see the scene out here for what it's all about. This is a weekend in the park, and this is what baseball is all about. Let's talk a little Phillies for a second about Gabe Kapler. And we had Tom McCarthy on with us earlier. Gabe Kapler is the kind of manager that he will text the writers a half hour before the game and say, look, this is what I may do in the fifth inning because this is what happened last night. Can you imagine that? And this is Gabe Kapler doing that. How about
that? Well, I've never heard of that, but he's done a lot of things I never heard of, some of which you can't really even talk about on the air, the way he treats his body. But he's a wacky guy, but I kind of like him a little bit. He's a solid character. He came out of the Dodger organization with good reports. I read somewhere that if the Phillies were to let him go, that Farhan might look at him to replace Bochy.
How about that?
Yeah, I mean,
Now, being writers,
well,
you
I
got
want to
Carey.
Ask Andy about what he thinks about that. Yeah, and Carey.
Yeah, what do you think?
Kapler's got some interesting ideas. If you've ever read his personal blog, like he thinks
you should
always take an ice cold shower. That's what he said. It's better for your metabolism.
I do that every day.
Take an ice cold every day.
Yeah,
every
without
day.
Fail, no matter what the weather.
Really?
No hot, all cold.
Okay. Well, you're a surfer.
Used to it, I guess.
All right.
Do you wear the neoprene bodysuit when you're in the
Well, I sure
shower?
Do, Andy. And that helps a lot.
It's too much information. All right. But how about if you had a manager, seriously, who went out of his way to text you to tell you what he was going to do? How about if you had to work with that?
I kind of feel like he's got to tell the players first, right? I mean, there's usually an order in these things, and you don't let the players know after you let the media know. So, yeah, I guess that's kind of curious. I'll have to ask my Phillies counterparts about how that's worked out for them.
Plus, that can really go bad. If all of a sudden they're going terrible, he makes some terrible moves, all the beat writers are on him and the columnists, is he really going to keep texting us? You know, I mean...
I think that every manager I've covered who feels like they have to explain their sort of thought process behind a move that backfired, that tells me that they need to show you how smart they are. And if they need you to know how smart they are, that means that they lack confidence. And players can smell that a mile away. And that's what Bruce Bochy, I think, has been such a good manager, is he doesn't care what you think about him. He doesn't have to explain a move. He'll just tell you why it didn't work out, and that's it. And I think the players respect that.
Or you can get, just real quick, the great Earl Weaver one time after a call went wrong and everybody's in there. All right, I'm way ahead of you guys. I'm going to tell you why we bunted there.
Is that right?
Yeah. He would do that.
He had the cards originally. Yeah. Remember, he would keep the cards.
Yeah.
You know, before the before the scouting reports and all that. He knew if Chico Simone was going to hit against Catfish Hunter, what he was lifetime. He knew that.
Bit of an analytics guy in his way.
Yeah, he was.
I really am curious to see what the difference is next year in the mannerisms and kind of the interactions with reporters that the new Giants manager will have relative to Bruce Bochy, because, Dax, you've covered Bochy for his entire 13-year tenure here in San Francisco, and I think we all have a great relationship with him. He's been open with the media. He doesn't necessarily feel like he has to explain his moves, but he is honest in explaining why things won't work out. And you've seen some of that backfire in Gabe Kapler and reporters' interactions in Philadelphia, Mickey Callaway in New York this year. And so I do wonder next year what it will be like when there is someone else in charge who likely doesn't have much managerial experience, if any at all.
Yeah, that's true. I think the number one thing a new manager has to be good at is getting organizational buy-in from players. When you have to explain to players, look, this is why you're being optioned, this is why you're being platooned, that's the way the new normal is going to be. And so I think the new manager is going to be very much like a Dave Roberts, where you're an optimist every day, you're upbeat every day, you're going to get players to buy in to what the front office, envisions for how you can best deploy this roster, and those are going to be the number one attributes, I think, in who the next person is.
Getting that buy-in from the Buster Posies, the Brandon Crawfords, potentially the Madison Bumgarner, if he's back in San Francisco next year, is going to be critical in the first year of the new manager, because I don't think you can win over the clubhouse if you haven't clearly explained some of the roles that will change. And I do think that, next year if Joey Bart comes up, you wrote about this earlier this season, Bags, maybe Buster Posey's splitting time behind the plate. Maybe Mauricio Dubon is having a platoon with Brandon Crawford at shortstop. I think that some of these veterans are going to have to be accustomed to changed ways that they haven't had to experience under Bruce Bochy.
Yeah, there's an incredible sense of calm about Bochy. He's always pretty much the same. And the players know that he manages the hell out of every game, and it's all the way back to the San Diego days. There's an awful lot of built-in respect there. And the new guy is not going to be that. We know that. But like you say, Andy, I mean, you need to be, I don't know about an eternal optimist, but you need to be steady. You can't be a hothead. You can't pull these Mickey Callaway, Billy Martin, whatever, hothead and stuff, Terry Collins. I mean, you can't, there's no longevity in that.
Well, that's why I say if they do go that route to bring in someone like that to be the manager, how I feel about Ron Wotus, you have to have him here just to give the balance of some semblance of connection to the community and to the players. You need a guy like, you cannot bring in a whole group of people who don't have that relationship.
Do you think he would stick around, Wotus?
I think Ron Wotus is the Jimmy Reese of this franchise. That's what he's become.
He's the furniture.
And
exactly.
He's so good at being a third base coach.
Yeah.
And I know he's always
really
aspired
good.
To do more than that.
Yeah.
But if you're looking at, hey, who's an asset here? Who do we want to keep? Who's going to make us better? How can we possibly improve on the person we already have? I don't know who you could possibly hire as a third base coach that's done a better job than Ron Wotus.
How many times have we said, boy, did Wotus blow that one? I mean, it's such a tough job. And Flannery was as good as I've ever seen. And you make a couple bad calls, and that's all people think about, And
Well, they make their calls like they're playing the game.
Yeah.
You see, they're like a shortstop, knowing where the throw is going, and they know the timing of the game, so they don't have to compute it in their head. Well, wait a minute, how many out are there? He went to his left. Is he going to throw well?
That's right. And
they're players.
And they know exactly what the state of a guy's arm is now, as of last night. Maybe it was wherever he was. And then plus, Lerner, he would score runs along with the guy scoring the run. He'd be right there, just inches from home plate.
If Woe could run, he would do it.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, I remember Ishikawa home run. He's right behind him.
Yeah.
He's waving. He almost touched home plate first.
Very good. All right, what happens with the Giants here in August? You know, they've lost 10 of 15, 7 of 9. The pitching's kind of gone south, though. What do you see happening?
I think it's going to be tough for them to sustain what kind of momentum they'd have to sustain to get back in this. You know, when you have a night like last night and you get a couple homers and you score some runs, you just can't lose that game. They can't really afford to lose series at this point. And the schedule we know is very tough. So, you know, there's a reason that Fangraphs has them as between a 1% and 2% chance of being a wild card team, and I'd say that that's probably about accurate.
You know, I think back to last night. What do these things have in common? The Dickerson three-run triple, the Segura sack fly, and both Harper homers. Wheelhouse, cake, down the pipe. You know, when you don't score a lot of runs, and I having big league command is one of the hardest things you can ever do, and Beedy is struggling to get that. Watson, I think that was an outlier. But, you know, you really can't have that, especially with a guy like Harper, if you're scratching and fighting and you don't score runs. And last night, as Andy said, they did score the runs. But, you know, for a guy like Beedy, he's got to be better. He's got to have more command, and so do all the young pitchers.
Look, every team in this National League wild card race has its flaws right now. You know, the Mets don't have a great bullpen or a lineup. The Nationals have had their bullpen struggles. The Phillies' rotation hasn't quite been what they expected it. For the Giants, it's their core players, and it's very hard to make a wild card spot when your core is struggling. You look around and you see Mike Yastrzemski's having a great season. Donovan Solano's having a great season. Jeff Samardzija's pitching well. Madison Bumgarner's pitching well. But if you're not going to get what you expected out of Buster Posey, Brandon Belt, Brandon Crawford, Evan Longoria, that's a long list of players to try to overcome right there.
Yeah,
and
it
just really makes the road that much steeper.
Yeah, and as much as we've all loved these guys, you know, talking to the fans, there's a little bit of exasperation with those guys. Maybe less so on Posey because he does so many things in so many ways. But, you know, they get tired of their guys not being what you expect from them.
They have not hit at home. It's huge. The numbers at home are just astronomically poor. And that's it. But, you know, I was thinking of two things. One, no matter what happens, unless they go completely south, it's been a successful season. And two, Andy of The Athletic and Carrie Young and Bay Area News Group and Bruce in The Chronicle, you guys have written about it. The roster has turned over. There's very few people from the beginning of the season here, and that's Farhan doing his transition.
And they got Mark Melanson's salary off the books, and they did not tie themselves up with a Bryce Harper mega contract, and maybe this offseason they find a way to swap money and they free up first base and trade Brandon Belt, which I think they will look at. Maybe Samardzija as well, although he's kind of doing something important for them right now by shielding innings from other young pitchers by doing what he's doing. But, yeah, getting back to Posey, Crawford, Longoria, they were 0 for 13 combined yesterday in a game like that. They could have scored 10 runs and won 10-9 if their core came through. And I think it's good, even for those guys, no matter how professional they are or how much the effort is there, it's good for those guys to get pushed too. And so a Dubon may come up and push a Crawford. Yeah. You know, there may be a Bart pushing a Posey, and maybe they end up being in kind of a tandem situation where we all think of this as being Posey's the catcher until the day he's a first baseman and Bart's the catcher. Maybe they both make, you know, 75 starts and they work in tandem when Bart comes to the big leagues. I think they're starting to look at all that right now.
Yeah, and the farm system has a lot of interesting things going on. I mean, you never know about young pitchers, but you hear about Logan Webb and Seth Corey, is it, and the kid they promoted
Jelly.
In Richmond, yeah, Jelly. I had a note today. I mean, Menez is like the seventh-rated young pitcher on the prospect list. They've got a lot of arms, and a couple of them are going to hit it.
Yeah, I think he's made his transition. Well, we got to run. Kerry, great job today. Carmen, terrific. Bruce, thanks for being here. Andy as well. Boy, and FB, nice job of putting this together for us. And you got baseball coming up, Giants and Phillies, and who knows what's going to happen, but I know it's going to be an interesting afternoon. I have more coming up right after this.